Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of London. I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to come to our Divine Service, which is held every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., or the Service of Vespers. We hold that Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We'd love to welcome you into our congregation. I also work with the Kent Mission. We meet in Raynham the first Sunday of each month at 3 p.m. And if you'd like more information on that, please go to our website and have a look. Pastor Wade Bellisback and I, we work with the folks up at St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride, Scotland, the Edinburgh Mission and the St. Andrews Mission. And if you'd like more information on those congregations or missions, then please go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button and find them and information about them or the congregation that's closest to you. I'd encourage you to go and pay them a visit. I know that you will be blessed. And again, we thank you. We thank you as well for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio UK. Without your prayers and without your generous gifts, we wouldn't be able to carry on this ministry. So we are ever so grateful to you for your care for us. Last week, we began a conversation with Dr. Kuzia Egan. She is coordinating the deaconess program for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Ghana. And she has been studying at Westfield House and the University of Cambridge recently. And part of her studies included the preparation of a paper on Luther and healing in the Lutheran tradition. And so we began our conversation last week, and we've invited her back to continue that conversation today. Dr. Egan, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us. Could we maybe just circle back a little bit and have a quick review of what we talked about last week? When, you know, most people think, oh, healing, I know what that means, you know, I'm sick and I get better. But is that exactly what you mean when you use the term in your research?
No, when we say I'm sick and I get better, we're just focusing on maybe relieving our symptoms. But healing for me from a Christian perspective is a very broad concept. It's the shalom that God promises us, the perfect order that God established when he created the world, and that we look forward to when the end of the world comes, that we'll have the perfect world again, as in the book of Revelation. So healing covers all aspects of your life. It's physical, it's spiritual, it's all your relationships, your emotions, and even the whole of creation.
And you looked at Jesus' healing, and again, what can you again briefly summarize what you learned from your look at Jesus' healing ministry?
Well, when I look at Jesus' healing, I see that Jesus was moved by compassion. And then I also realize that there's a cosmic dimension to it, because when he performs the exorcisms, he is communicating that he has come to destroy all the works of the evil cosmic forces. And then I see that Jesus offers healing, and then he offers the physical healing, and then he also offers forgiveness of sins. So that forgiveness of sins is also bound up with physical healing. And then I see the social dimension also, because many of the people he heals are outcasts. And by healing, he restores them back to the community where they can live a meaningful life. So all these different aspects are embraced in Jesus' healing. And actually, when I did a bit of a word study, I realized there is not one word that talks about physical healing only. The words in the Bible that refer to healing always have a holistic dimension to them.
And then you talked about Luther and the Lutheran tradition of healing, and how you were, you know, making explicit what was implicit within Luther, how his pastoral care involved so much with healing. You even noted he had a healing service, with prayers and laying on of hands and anointing with oil. Can you tell us again a quick review of what you learned from your study of Luther and the Lutheran tradition of healing?
Well, what I learned about Luther is that Luther's a pastor, and Luther cared very deeply about his parishioners. And so when he was moved to address these issues in the Catholic Church at the time, it was because he saw that people were in bondage. They lived in fear. This was a time when people died early, and they were afraid they would go to purgatory, that they would go to hell because they hadn't done enough to merit forgiveness of sins. And he felt that he needed to speak up about the Bible and how the Bible offers forgiveness of sins. And once you have forgiveness of sins, then you're free to live the life that God has called you to. So I also read Luther's pastoral letters, and I saw the care that Luther extended to each person who came to him with a concern, and how he knew his scripture so well that he could pick the right scripture to address the particular issue the person was dealing with, and the comfort he extended to them. And he would always direct them to the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer and so on. And he always knew when to use the law, when to use the gospel. And I realized that within the Lutheran tradition, we have a lot of resources we can use to help people who are ill or who are depressed or who have one challenge or another.
Well, and as I understand it, this work you've done on Lutheran and the Luther tradition of healing, you're seeing how that fits in with the African context, or can it fit in with the African context? And that was the next section of your paper. And you begin by talking about the traditional African methods of healing. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, healing, it's believed that when people are sick, it's because they have offended the gods. There's always a taboo that's broken or something like that, and you have to restore. So there's a process they go through. There's some divination to find out exactly why the gods are angry, and then the god tells you what you need to bring to pacify. So maybe a sheep and some white cloth and cowries and some money and stuff. And then there's a ceremony they go through for the pacification. And then you're released. And sometimes if the person has committed some kind of taboo, they have to be cleansed. So there's a whole purification rite that you go through. So it all sounds very much like the Old Testament sacrificial system. So when there's an illness, there's always a deeper, level, a supernatural level. And sometimes when there's an illness, it's also believed that there is somebody who is cursing you, and then you have to address the issue. So you're never sick just because you have malaria. I mean, it's never a cause and effect. There's always a supernatural dimension to your illness that has to be addressed.
And you talk about this supernatural dimension. How is that determined? Who determines this?
People you go to. A diviner, and then he determines what the cause of your illness is.
Okay. And then you talk about faith healing in the African context, which, the Pentecostal movement is very large in Africa. You say in Ghana, it makes up almost a third of all Christians. Can you talk about how faith healing has played such an important role in the African context?
Yes, we have the African independent churches. They broke away from the mission churches, because, the missionaries came in with the Western culture and they stopped people from traditional dancing and the traditional music and all those other things. To become a Christian, you virtually had to adopt Western culture. You even had to change your name. You had to take a Christian name and so on. So people who wanted to continue to worship in the traditional way broke away from the mission churches, and they set up what we call African independent churches. So they continued using the traditional music and the traditional forms of healing that were like herbal medicine and so on. So that is one aspect of faith healing that you find in Ghana. But also the Pentecostal churches that had have people who have actually studied theology and so on, they have a form of worship in which they have deliverance. Deliverance is very popular. And then there are prayer camps where people go and stay for 2 weeks or maybe more when they're ill, and they use fasting and exorcism and anointing, laying on of hands and so on. And these prayer camps are very popular in Ghana. When people are sick, like I said, when you're sick, you go to a hospital and then you're not healed, and people tell you this illness is not an illness of the hospital. It has a supernatural dimension to it. You have to go to a prayer camp where there's a powerful man of God who can pray for you and you find healing. So often you find if people have something like HIV AIDS, they will not go to the hospital. They'll go to a prayer camp.
And you talk about how this really is seen as almost a confrontation between God and the disease or the evil forces, and how it's very much a theology of glory, how everything revolves around being delivered. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. So because there is a supernatural power that is causing your illness, so you need someone who is powerful enough to conquer that force.
And so the idea of suffering maybe being God's will is very alien to this view of healing. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. God will remove your suffering. That is the underlying understanding of it. So if the suffering isn't being removed, it's either because your faith is not strong enough or the person who's praying for you is not powerful enough.
Well, within that context, you take a look at a couple of Lutheran church bodies in Africa. Your own, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana, and the Malagasy Lutheran Church. Can you tell us about the role of healing in those churches and how it proceeds from a Lutheran context, and how maybe it's different from the Pentecostal context?
Yes, I read a little bit about the Malagasy Church, and they have a healing movement, which was founded actually by Lutheran pastors. But what they do is they do not deny the African understanding of healing. What I mean by they don't deny it is that they know that everybody who comes to them has grown up in that culture. And at the back of their minds, they are thinking that they are ill because there is some supernatural force working against them. So they don't deny it. You come in and they know that this is what you think, and they wean you off it and teach you the understanding that, you know, it is illness is cause and effect, and you're saved. God can take care of you. And they teach them. They put a high premium on teaching scriptures. But on top of that, they have these camps where the healers actually become your new community. Because if you go back home, your family is going to pressure you into ancestral worship and those other things that predispose you to demon possession. I believe that there is a thing such as demon possession. If you are engaging in certain practices, like you're pouring libation, you're going to shrine gods and they're saying prayers for you, and so you can actually be possessed by demons. And so they have exorcisms at the camps, and they also have this loving community where they actually nurse you back to health. And you can stay there if you don't want to go back home, and you find a new family. So it is a holistic ministry that they have there. But what I realize is that it is independent of the church. Because sometimes the church tries to limit the way you work with, you know, every doctrine has its blind spots. Or some church leaders interpret a doctrine a particular way and they try to stop you from performing exorcisms or whatever. But they know when people come and they're demon possessed, they know. And they know that they need the exorcism, so they perform it. And I find that in my church in Ghana, we've never had that conversation. We have never spoken about demon possession. And even when anyone has raised the issue, we've been quickly told that is superstitious, something to that effect. So we've never dealt with these issues in the church in Ghana. So reading about the Malagasy church and reading a book that was written by Bennett, he's a Lutheran pastor who spent time in Madagascar, And he has this book that's called I'm Not Afraid. He did a lot of research with people who had come in to the camp demon-possessed. They had been exorcised. Their lives have changed completely. And I think this book is good. It's published by CPH, Concordia Publishing House. I think it's good to read it because there is more to life than we know. There are all these dimensions we never fully understand. And people do dabble in the occult. I mean, I've seen it myself. People do dabble in the occult. They do worship Satan in different ways. We have all the shrines in Ghana, the fetishes, and you actually see the fetish priest possessed. He's not being possessed by the Holy Spirit. There's a spirit that's possessing him, which is not the Holy Spirit. And if people have lived in these areas and they've had all kinds of incantations thrown on them and food has been mixed with different things to call upon gods to give them special powers and so on and so on, by the time the person is converted and comes to church, he probably is possessed, demon possessed, because that's the life he's lived. I hope you follow. It's hard for people in Western cultures to understand these things, but because we grew up in this kind, we see these things happening. We know, like my mother's father was a chief. And when a chief is being enstooled, a live sheep is killed and the blood is poured on his feet. That's how you're made a chief. That immediately becomes a blood pact. And every year they kill sheep and they blacken the stool. And no one is allowed to go into the stool room apart from a particular group of people. But that's where the chief is, and they bath him with different kinds of potions, and he has these amulets and beads, and it's a whole extensive ritual. I mean, when you see these things being done, it's not scriptural. So if anything that is not scriptural, of course, is demonic. That's what we know. Either the power is the God's power, or it is the devil's power. And if these are people who are living constantly under the devil's power, as Christians, we need to help them to set that power aside and then receive the Holy Spirit. We have to face these things. They're part of our reality. We grow up with these things.
So with that in mind, is there anything that other churches can teach Lutherans, either in Africa or in the West here, about healing and the way they carry out this ministry in their context?
Well, I learned about a Presbyterian church in Akropong, that's just about 20 kilometers outside the city, where the pastor has set up a center where he teaches deliverance. And so every Presbyterian ordained minister now is required to learn how to do deliverance. And I realized that there are other churches like the Methodist Church and the Anglican Church. Some people are beginning to understand that when people come to church, it's not enough to just pray with them. You need to ask them more about their background. So when you go to this minister, he has this whole form that you fill in. It's like going to see a doctor. And you explain to him about your family's spiritual history, if you like. He does like a spiritual genealogy just to find out whether you have idol worship in your family background, and did your mother, sometimes your mother goes to consult a god because she's not having children. She goes to consult a god, and then the god promises her a child. So when she has a child, she dedicates a child to that god. So then they may ask you, did your mother dedicate you to a god? What habits do you have? What kind of dreams do you have? That sort of thing. And then they try to find out if there's a possibility that you've been, quote-unquote, infected with this kind of worship. And then they help you. They do the deliverance. And then they help you. Now, you have to manage these practices very carefully, because not everything is demon possession. So it's very easy to overuse this tool that you have, because people may just be living in sin. If you see what I mean. Sometimes people are alcoholic and they tell you it's a demon. It's not a demon. Sometimes it's just sin. So as a church, this, we should be open to using these tools, but I'm not saying we should do it without thinking it through or without using prayer or without thinking about what scripture teaches. But I think we need to begin to look at these things and see how we can use them in a way that will not make people feel dependent on them. Because we know God's power is above all. And so we don't want to make them dependent on the pastor who's doing the deliverance or on a certain kind of prayer, a certain kind of ritual. So we take our time and we study. I'm not saying just implement them, think them through and pray and see what God leads us to do.
And within this Lutheran tradition, judge each case on its own merits and use the law and gospel to help in that. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, you talk about diaconal work within Ghana. What do you mean by diaconal, and how can this idea of holistic healing be implemented in diaconal work, do you think?
When I say diaconal, I'm thinking about lay leadership, and I'm thinking about leadership of women. So women in the church who are ministering, offering what they call works of mercy or compassion. Because the pastor does the administration of the sacraments and the other things that a pastor does that keep him very busy. But there are people in the church who need visitation, people are sick, the women need care with their children and so on. Prison ministries within the community, there's all kinds of ministries that women can perform better than men. And so that's what I mean by diaconal work.
So do you have any words of encouragement, perhaps for somebody that's feeling the weight of illness or an ailment or ailments and wonders, is God really with them? Does God really love them? Do you have any words of encouragement for a listener that may be in those circumstances?
You know, I have found that the Lord's Prayer is an amazing resource, and we've all memorized it. So I would urge people to just try to understand. For example, if you can get Luther's explanation of the Lord's Prayer, that's an excellent resource, because as you say that prayer, you understand that God has provided for you. He sustains you. He cares about you. There's a absolution and confession built into the Lord's Prayer. You pray for forgiveness. You forgive others. And then you pray for God's kingdom to come, and that is His shalom. And then there's a dimension of where you know that even when you die, you'll be received into grace, because the Lord's Prayer talks about thine be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. So the whole scripture, let me say, is in the Lord's Prayer. So that's a wonderful resource. And then I would urge them to just learn to receive God's will, because God's will for you is better than anything that you can do for yourself. And if it's God's will that you remain in your illness, you can do that with joy. And if you die, that's even better. So I just urge people in their illness to just focus on Christ. Forget about what we are losing. It's easy to focus on what you lose, but sometimes you need to think about what you're gaining. Why would God let this happen to me at this time? It must be for my good, because God has told us that everything He does is for our good, and His plan for our lives is for our good. So that is what I would say.
Thank you for those words of encouragement. And before we go, though, we need to ask you about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana, the church body of which you're a member. Can you tell us a little bit about that church body, what you do in that church body, and the ministries that happen there?
Well, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana was established a little over 60 years ago, and through the Nigerian Lutheran Church. And a missionary was sent, Reverend Jim Dredke, the first missionary who came down to Ghana in the late 60s. But I joined the church in 1971. My husband's family lived opposite Jim Dredke, so he became a Lutheran. So when I met him at the university, that's when I also joined the Lutheran Church. So I've been helping in different capacities in the Lutheran Church. But just recently, we decided to set up, to start deaconess training. This is the first time we're actually giving women in the church formal theological training. So the president invited me to start that program. So what I'm doing now is trying to put together a curriculum. But Westfield House is helping us. Westfield House is offering us an online program of 4 courses that the deaconesses are all enrolled in. And then we have to put together a curriculum for them to get the other training that they need. But we have a seminary that currently is training our pastors. So we want to offer the training through the seminary. So because I'm on the, I'm coordinating this program, I'm also a member of the seminary board, and I teach academic writing at the seminary.
Well, Dr. Egan, thank you so much for introducing us to this topic of Lutheran and healing in the Lutheran tradition. We do pray God's richest blessings upon you as you set up this program, and we pray that it will be a blessing to you and to many saints in Ghana and even around the world. Thanks again for your time. Take all of our greetings back to your brothers and sisters and our dear friends back in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana. And again, thank you for joining us and for being a blessing to the ELCE during your time with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.